Okay, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope that you do, I want you to turn two passages of Scripture. One from the book of Psalms, Psalm 90, and then I want to look at Ephesians chapter 5. And I think as I read these, you'll be able to see very quickly why I chose these two passages to give you a message on this morning. Hopefully from God to where you are in this life. And I've titled this message, "The Wisely Invest Your Most Precious Asset." Wisely invest your most precious asset. Now, I don't know, there may be some of you here this morning, and if I ask you what's your most precious asset, you may have a different answer than some of us have. Especially when we've lived life, and we've lived life to the fullest, and we've experienced things that younger generations have never experienced or experienced up until this point in time. But the one thing we know, and one of the reasons that we who are up there in age, the silver hairs, the gray hairs, whatever you want to call us, they need to know about Jesus Christ. In our nation today, they are not hearing the name Jesus Christ. And from the top of our government down to even city governments, Jesus Christ, that name is trying to be stricken, not only from the records, not only from our churches, but from our children and our high schools, in our grade schools, and in our colleges. So they need to hear from you, and they need to hear from me. And I'll tell you right now what my most precious asset is. It's not my wife. I love my wife. She'd give anything if she could be here this morning. It's not my children. It's not this church. My most precious asset, I realize more and more every day, is time. My time. You've heard me say, if you're a football fan, I'm inside the 2-minute warning. God has given me the 2-minute warning. And some days I feel I'm down there in what they call the red zone now. The red zone is, you know, you're about to cross that finish line. But I don't feel that way. And so I want to share with you some thoughts this morning. There's a missionary, a pastor by the name of Gay in West Africa, and he said this about time. What value do we place on gifts we lay before the Lord? I'm going to say that again. What value do we place on gifts before the Lord? We just placed gifts before the Lord this morning. In our tithes and offerings. And he says, I'm sometimes content to give leftovers of my time or my energy. May I never again offer God anything as worthless a sacrifice. That's a pretty powerful statement, a pretty profound statement, pretty true statement. Introduction of time. You know, what do we do with time? We march against time. I mean, we're doing all kinds of things to march against time, not to be our age or whatever we are supposed to be and how we're supposed to feel and how we're supposed to look. We beat time. We save time. We try to manage time. The one thing we always do is we spend time. But what do we spend time on? We try not to kill time. We try not to waste time. But let me ask you, how are you doing? Since this is a new year, 2024, I don't know, maybe some of you have made resolutions. I'm going to make the very best of my time. I'm going to make the very best of my time for reading the Bible and for praying and all those kind of things. But let me ask you, how are you doing? 8,760 hours is in this year. You and I have already expended roughly 155 of those hours. 365 days, we've already expended, nearly expended seven of those days of the 365. What are you going to do? What am I going to do when we're here a year from now, just before January the 1st, 2025? We're going to look back and say, oh, I remember what he preached when he was here. And what have I done with this time that God gave to me? You know, one of the things that I really have this in my heart, and I really want to speak to you as your pastor, as your preacher, as your pastor. I know this is going to sound redundant, but these days are some of the most evil days, if not the most evil days, that I have ever experienced as a human being, as a man, as a husband, as a father, as a grandfather, as a pastor. Evil days. But then the Bible says Satan is a thief. God said, that's right, Ted, because Satan is a thief. Well, what is God trying to steal from you and from me? He's trying to steal your time. Well, I'm young. I've got lots of time ahead of me. No, you don't. You may have lots of time ahead of you, but you don't know, and I don't know. And so I pray as we take a look at this passage, these two passages of Scripture this morning, that perhaps God will speak to your heart right where you are. And I want to first look at Psalm 90. So if you have your Bibles there, Psalm 90, excuse me, let's look at verse 12. Interestingly, in my version of the Bible, it says this is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Listen to what Moses said in Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Now listen to how Paul talked about time in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and let me pick up reading this in verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Moses in his psalm just told us how to be wise with our time. And then Paul says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Heavenly Father God, speak to us this morning right where we are. We're all in different places, different stages, physically, in age, spiritually, in our development. Father, you know where we are. Your word is living and active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, I pray that you even would penetrate that heart that has said no, no, no to the offer of what you and your son did at the cross, Lord, and that they too would receive Jesus Christ and pass from death unto life. Speak to us, Father, for it's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. I don't know, you may do this already, but let me just ask you just to think about doing something tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, before you do anything else, Even before you pray, do two things. Number one, quote this scripture from Psalm 90. It's in your bulletin as our memory verse for this week. God, teach me to number my days, beginning today. Teach me to number my days that I might gain a heart of wisdom. Then perhaps you might do a second thing. As you pick your watch up from wherever you lay your watch, maybe it's still on your arm, but as you pick that watch up and you look at that watch, Father God, help me to remember as I look at this watch that you gave me these minutes, these seconds, so you know how to spend these hours and these minutes and these seconds. That's why I need your wisdom, God. So I want to spend this time that you've given to me the way you want it spent, because you have a specific purpose for my life. So as an aside, if I'm not doing that, if I'm not living and utilizing that precious time that God has given it, is it productive time or is it wasted time? I would submit to you, it's the latter in most of our lives. Holy Spirit, Father God, teach me this day with the thought, I have one life to live. I only get one shot. I only go around once on this life here on this earth. Give me the wisdom I need every moment of every hour of every day, of every month of every year, that you grant me to preciously give me to live. Lord, let me focus on the important things of life, not those things that are on television, not those things that I'm hearing and we're hearing every day. But Lord, would you do that? And then go ahead and put your watch on, if you wear a watch. Your time is precious. And I have this in your outline this morning. I want to say some things about your precious time. Four things. And then I want to look at how do we invest? How do we invest wisely, moment by moment, in what God has given us? Number one, I know you know this, but we need to be reminded of this. Time on this earth is precisely determined down to your final breath, down to the final nanosecond that your heart is beating, that there is life in your body. It's precisely determined. And I know you don't really need to write that down. Well, if you're like most of us, when we schedule our time, we schedule our time often as if our time is unlimited, or I'll get around to it tomorrow. But today I've got to do this. And so we keep adding and we keep adding and we keep adding and we keep adding to our calendar. Maybe that's why God allowed us to develop cell phones, because we've run out of paper with those things that we just got to do. And oh, by the way, God, you understand why I can't do all those things that you expect me to do. You know, yes. We say that over and over again. And I have trouble with this. Yes, when somebody asks me. You know, let me suggest to you that there's times that we just need to stop. And it may be something very beautiful, something very good, something very wonderful that somebody wants you to do. But because we're looking at our time, we're having God help us to manage our time, that we have to say no. Isn't that hard to say sometimes? Maybe there's somebody there and there's tears coming down their eyes. And they want you to do this, or want you to give this, or can't you just come? No. Not now. Not today. I will put it on my calendar. I will call. I will visit. I will. But no, not today. Why would you say that? Because there's something God has more important that He's placed upon your heart. We function as if we have no limit in time. When I was young, if I heard this message, I'd say, you old guy. I'm going to live forever. I told people that. When I was in Vietnam, I told people, I'm going to live forever. Why do you do those things? Well, because I'm going to live forever. Kind of a facetious statement, but I didn't think I was going to die. I mean, right now. I don't think I'm going to die right now. God. You know, that's one of the things I'm concerned about every now and then, because you've heard me, and for those of you who have been here a while, I said there's one of two ways I want to go. I want to go in mid-stride, jogging, and I want to go when I finish God's invitation and say, amen. Then y'all can come up here and carry me out of here. God, you know, I'm joking right now, right? But you get my point. The truth is, our time is limited. And it's just a fact. God has precisely determined it. Let me say a second thing about your precious time. Every second of your time is going to be invested in something. Every precious second is going to be invested in something. You don't have any second. You don't have any minute, nor do I, nor any moment, nor any hour. That's extra. It's not extra. When I say I know I'm going to get around to it, perhaps at a better time, there is no better time. If God wants you to do it now, if you know in your heart it's something you got to do now, there's not going to be a better time. You can't take time and put it in a box and say, well, it's like a bank. I'm going to draw upon this time when I get around to it. That doesn't work that way. You know it doesn't work that way. But are we living as though we've got extra time? Just out there. It's just out there. I'll get to it later. Because see, God, I've got 6 extra months of time in that box. Some of us live that way. I mean, we exercise, we take health food, we, for those poor souls that give up McDonald's and M&M peanuts for health. You know, but it's the way we live, but we don't gain a second of time. God has precisely determined, third time I've said it this morning, the exact second, and it has nothing to do with your age. Not a single thing to do with your age. Listen, every single moment of your life is going to be spent. And it's going to be spent on something. What are you spending your life on now? When you go home this afternoon, what will you spend the rest of this day on? Your life. Thirdly, if this life quickly is a passing life, someone is going to determine how to invest each moment of your time. Since this is a passing life, since your life, limited hours, and it's going to pass, and you're never going to be able to come back and live it again, somebody, not just something, but someone is going to have a great impact on how you spend your time. Who keeps your calendar? Do you keep your calendar? I mean, now we've got written calendars, and I've got calendars hanging all over the place. Got them on my cell phone, got them on my iPad, so do you. But who's basically using and determining what goes on your calendar? You say a fourth thing about our precious time. When you are in control of your time, when I am in control of my time, urgent things get pushed aside. Urgent things get pushed aside for important things. Think about that. There are some things that are urgent. They're urgent to God. They're perhaps urgent to someone else. But God, I got more important things to do right now. Or maybe we don't even say, God, I've got more important things to do right now. I just say to myself, I've got more important things to do right now, so I'm going to just make this annotation here. New Year's. Anybody make a resolution to lose weight? Anybody make a resolution to exercise every day? Well, how are you doing? I'm not doing so well. How are you doing? Who's managing my calendar? Who's managing my time? Yes, there are things that come into your life. Children come into your life and they require time. Children get sick. Children get into trouble. It's just the way life is. But God's time, with His wisdom, will take care of that, so that we're doing the urgent things that need to be done and not just the important things that need to be done. Listen. What if God would want you to be in control of how you spend time? I want you to turn back to the Old Testament here. Go back to Job. Job chapter 14 for just a moment here. Again, I want to ask you, if God said, okay, I'm going to let you control your time, you go ahead and manage it without me. Listen to what Job said. Job asked. In Job chapter 14. And here he's talking, and in verse 1 he says, man who is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Get what he's saying? A man who is born of a woman, doesn't matter if you're 90 like Abraham was when Sarah got pregnant. Doesn't matter if you're 15. He says again, man who is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. I think there would probably be some amens to that as we look back in our life, because we know. God says, the Bible says, this is not going to be a rose garden. This life is going to be a tough life. It was tough for my son. It's going to be tough for you. And then he says, look down at verse 5. Since his days are determined. See, I said that. Our days are determined precisely by God. He says, since his days are determined and the number of his months is with you, and you have appointed his limits that he cannot pass, look away from him and leave him alone, that he may enjoy like a hired hand this day. He's saying, God, you made him, you've given his... the number of his days, you've done it precisely. So if he's going to handle these days, how's he going to handle them? For you, God, or for something or someone else? You know, the Living Bible says it this way, that verse 5, you have set mankind so brief a span of life. Months is all you give him. Not one bit longer may he or she live. And this is huge. Since God has decided how many days we're going to have, back when we were conceived in our mother's wombs, doesn't it make sense? Since we don't know what those number of days are, we don't know the number of years, doesn't it make sense that we should go to God for His wisdom, to impart His wisdom on how we should live our days? For what? For the glory of God. For the glory of His Son, Jesus Christ, who lived His days here on earth 33 years so that you and I might have life and one day spend it with Him in eternity. How are we doing? Well, let me address how do we invest every moment wisely? Listen, if you surrender God your time and your schedule, just like you look at your watch maybe, or when you look at your watch, you remember the time and the time that you have, that is precious time, and you look at your calendar, be it a hard calendar where you write on it, or on your cell phone or iPad. If you surrender God your time, your schedule, He's going to lead you to a time of relaxation and a time of peace and a time of understanding and a time of accepting that it is He who is directing your path. Teach me in the way I should go. God says, that's what I've been trying to do. Just think about that. Number one, ask. Ask and then trust God to help you invest the utmost of your time. Not just most of it, but the utmost of your time. That means the highest, the best, the greatest amount of your time. You want to invest that for Him. You want Him to invest it. Ask and then trust. We can ask, but then we have to trust that God does have it if we're asking. To help us invest the utmost of your irrecoverable time. It's irrecoverable. I can't get back what I did over in the office before I came over here. I can't get back what I did yesterday. God says, hey, you only have one life to live. Why don't you let me live it through you? That's why the Holy Spirit came to live in me. Why don't you let me live it through you? There's teens who say, I'll never be 80 years old. Some of them are right. Since I just read that the average age for a male in America today is 78 years old. See why I'm a little hanging on to this pulpit? But think about that. Time is precious. So many times I hear you say, and so many times I say, man, I wish they could go back and do that again. I sure miss flying. Yeah, and you ain't ever going to fly again unless I come, and you're going to fly with me up to heaven. So I can't go back there. I sure wish I could get out of bed in the morning without, you know what? God, it hurts. Or the groans. I wish I could do that. But you know what? I still wish, and you know this, jogging has been my thing. I sure wished I could jog again. I see somebody going down the street and I say, oh man, they are so lucky to be able to do that. But you know what? You know what God does? As much as you enjoy what you were doing, God is changing you. He is preparing you for that time where I can say, I can't jog anymore. I can't do this anymore. And when you make that confession and then you live it, God gives you that peace. He gives you that wisdom, that understanding. And He's got something else for you to do. Why? Because He sees your heart. And He knows your love for Him and your desire to serve Him. You know, there was a man that turned 15. And he went to a toy store and he bought 1,300 marbles. And he figured that he was going to live to be 75 years old. And so he saved them in this jar. And he wanted to see how many Saturdays he was going to have to live. And his wife told him, he said, that's the most morbid thing I've ever seen. So every Saturday he would come and he'd take a marble out of that jar and he would throw it away. And he said, I can't believe what that has done with my perspective of time. You know, we talk about an hourglass going down with all these grains of sand. Take a marble out of that jar and throw it away. How many times have you had a jar of some money in there and you just need it? Well, I won't miss it because it got a lot of money in there. So you take some out. You take some out, and pretty soon, there's not much money in there anymore. That's what our life is. We're doing it. We're to do it God's way. We're to number our days for God, knowing that we don't know what that number is. But today, I'm going to live for God's glory because He says that He will grant me the wisdom because He loves me as long as I give it to Him and for Him. Secondly, ask God to help you to effectively prioritize your investment of time for His purpose, even when it's inconvenient. Sometimes it's just inconvenient. And this is huge. As you allow God to help you invest your time and your priorities, as you say, God, help me to invest my time and in my priorities, your priorities today, you would be amazed, listen to me, you would be amazed of the capacity that you could put into that day that without God, you couldn't have got half of that capacity into this jug, life of that day. Because, you see, we're doing the things for God. The urgent things for God, the things that He wants us to do. You know, I can't tell you, and I couldn't, but if I miss praying in the morning, or if I miss reading the Bible in the morning, I can't tell you how I feel the rest of the day. You ever been there? It just feels like, it just feels like the day's out of whack. And then every time God gives me a pop quiz, or at least I think it's coming from God, I say, well, it's because I didn't read the Bible this morning. Maybe, maybe not. But I know the Holy Spirit living in me is going to remind Him, you know why your day's out of whack right now? You didn't spend time with me this morning. You didn't even talk to me this morning. You didn't ask me, how am I doing, Holy Spirit? Have I grieved you today? I know Jesus is in the garden waiting on me. But you see, I had to get to church on time. Isn't that how we live our lives sometimes? Put God first, and then in time, your Heavenly Father is going to give you the important, urgent things that He wants you to do. Now, let me give you, in this fourth thing here, eradicate the two greatest enemies of your time. Eradicate them. Destroy them by whatever means you have to do that. Number one, eradicate the regrets for the things in your past. I mentioned some of the things that I would love to be able to do again. But I'm talking about those things that God forgave me for. And He has forgiven me for. So stop dredging them up. Satan wants you to dredge them up. They're gone forever. God says, I don't remember them anymore. I've taken those sins and I've thrown them as far as the east is from the west. And I don't remember what you're talking about, Ted. So let's get on to some important stuff. Satan wants to steal your forgiveness in your mind and in your heart by bringing these things up to you. Secondly, destroy one of the greatest enemies of your time, and that's anxiety of your future. The anxiety about your future. God knows your future. He knows my future. I want to say this again. God knows your heart. And He knows that heart that wants to serve Him. Since those fields are ripe out there, they're ripe right around your house, wherever you live. They're ripe in the schools, they're ripe in the businesses, they're ripe in churches, they're ripe in the government. And God says, as long as I see a heart that wants to go out into those fields and work those fields, I'm not going to put him or her on the shelf. I'm just not going to do that. Because I'm looking for workers. Fifthly, use this moment right now. 1 minute until high noon. Use this moment to be absolutely certain that you have wisely invested in eternity where time does not exist. Doesn't matter if you're going to heaven, time doesn't exist there. Have you invested in being absolutely certain right now that you are going to heaven beyond a shadow of a doubt? You got the bank card, you got it in your wallet. Excuse me, you have it in your heart? Or are you going to the other place? Where also, listen to me, there is no time. There is no time in hell. Where are you going? Where have you invested your life, your time? You know, you may have wasted. You may be 60 years old. You may have wasted 59 and 364 days of your life. And God says, right now, if you will respond to me, I will take you from that road that is leading to destruction and hell. And I will place you on that road like I did on the cross with that thief that looked at me and said, Jesus, remember me. And Jesus said, what? Today, you will be with me in paradise. He did it all. It's so simple. One of the things I don't understand, I may ask this of God if I get around to it, but I may in eternity. But God, when you gave it all, when you paid the sin, when Jesus took that wrath, your wrath, and the word of God was preached in one form or another, why would somebody say, no, I'd rather go to hell than just to receive this invitation? As though Jesus was there and he's saying, come to me. Come to me and I'll give you life. John Boykin said this in the Gospel of Confidence. And he wrote the Gospel of Confidence. He said, time is life. Nothing more, nothing less. The way you spend your hours and your days is the way you spend your life. And then Phil Sackett in Leadership said, all God really wants of me in a given day, all God ever wants of me in a given day is my best effort. And God says, I'll tackle the rest in your tomorrow, if there is a tomorrow. How are you doing in the beginning of 2024? How are you doing since God saved you by his son Jesus Christ on the cross? Let's live our time for Jesus Christ. I've already said this to people this morning in just casual conversations. They're talking about some things, and I said, now you understand why I always say and I always preach and always remind ourselves, enjoy what you have today. I said it to you all. Enjoy what you have today. It's your only day. And tomorrow, either you or that precious gift from God may be gone forever and forever. Would you pray with me this morning? Lord, our Heavenly Father God, Lord, we take so many things for granted. God, sometimes we take you for granted. We take you for granted, and no matter what we do, we'll always be able to come back to you because we've heard. We can always come to you. We can always come back. Lord, I wonder how many people have made a statement or a similar statement. And right now, at this very moment, they are so regretting that, saying, I wish I had one more opportunity. So, Father, I'm just asking that as our heads are bowed, that you, God, if there's one person here in this sanctuary or on our live stream, Lord, that has never received Jesus Christ, has never repented of their sin, has never asked Christ to come into their life and to save them, Save them from addiction. Save them from marital difficulties. Save them from sin. Whatever it is, God, that they would do it right now. Lord, listen to that voice saying, this is what I need forgiveness for, Father. And Lord, then send someone to them to help them to repent. Repentance is hard. But God, it begins in the heart, and that person is praying from the heart. Save me, Father. Help me to repent of my sin, and then show me what it is that you would have me do to live this life for you. And Jesus, I just want to thank you by faith. I'm just believing that because you have seen my heart, you've heard my voice, silently or otherwise, you have taken me from that road, the broad road that leads to destruction, and you've put me on that road that leads to heaven. And I just want to praise you, God. I don't even know how to praise you adequate, Lord, but I just want to praise you. And Father, there may be someone here today as we stand and respond to your invitation that maybe someone that wants to pray for someone else or bring someone to the altar. Lord, whatever it is, this is your invitation. It's not mine. It's not a human invitation. It's a godly invitation from the highest throne in heaven. And Father, if there's a person or persons that are looking for a church home to grow, to be loved, perhaps just to find peace for a while, Lord, and then our arms are open. Whatever it is, God, this is the hour. This is the day. And we pray these things in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Would you stand and respond as our praise team leads us in the invitation? If there's something you just know, you feel, you're sensing that God is asking you to do this morning, do it for Him. He wouldn't have placed it upon your heart if it wasn't for Him. Let's share.